on Severe Weather Center 11.
70 degrees now at DVE. I'm Val Porter. The death toll from yesterday's suicide attacks in Kabul is now over 100. Pentagon says 13 U.S. service members are among the dead, including 10 Marines, 2 soldiers, and 1 sailor. They were the first U.S. soldiers to die in the conflict since February of 2020. It was the deadliest attack in Afghanistan since 2011. It happened as 2 bombs went off outside the Kabul airport, where crowds have been gathering as the U.S. evacuation deadline approaches. Pentagon says another 18 U.S. service members were injured in the attacks, which was carried out by the ISIS-K terrorist group. President Biden spoke to the American people yesterday about those lost soldiers.
They're a part of the bravest, most capable, the most selfless military on the face of the earth. And they're part of simply what I call the backbone of America.
He also talked about their dedication and sacrifice.
These American service members who gave their lives were heroes. Heroes who've been engaged in a dangerous, selfless mission to save the lives of others.
And he spoke yesterday to the terrorists as well.
We will not forgive. We will not forget. We will hunt you down and make you pay.
And we'll continue to keep everyone updated on any developments this morning. An anonymous donor wants to cover all funeral costs for 20 flood victims in Tennessee. The man went to funeral homes in Humphreys County to make that offer. That's where 17 inches of rain fell in less than 24 hours on Saturday, washing away homes in the town of Waverly. The flash flooding damaged other buildings, school buses, took out roads and cell phone towers as well. A massive cleanup is underway as donations pour in from across the nation. Westmoreland County commissioners say they oppose any mask mandate for the county courthouse, even though they're in quarantine because a staffer tested positive for the virus. Masks have been optional for employees and courthouse visitors since Governor Tom Wolf lifted the state mandate in June. Westmoreland County, along with Allegheny and nearly every other county in the state, are ranked as high, which is the highest level of infection risk by the CDC. The city of Pittsburgh is preparing to launch a new initiative to continue investigating unsolved homicides. City leaders say a $50,000 grant from the feds will help fund the Cold Case Project as part of the Pittsburgh Bureau of Police Homicide Unit. According to PBP, the funds will be used to hire retired detectives as case consultants and to pay for new state-of-the-art forensic equipment. A Northern Virginia woman donated over 6 feet of hair and set a new world record for doing it. Zahab Kamal Khan says she last had her hair cut 17 years ago at the age of 13. The Guinness Book of World Records says the record is a new category, most hair donated to a charity by an individual. She says her grandmother's oil keeps her hair healthy. She donated all 6 feet, 3 inches of hair to a charity that helps kids who are suffering from hair loss.
That's incredible.
How would you carry that around all the time?
I don't know. I mean, it would take you half the day just to comb your hair.
You probably can't.
Yeah, you would need help.
You just put it in a bun or something all the time.
Right.
There's no way you can wash that hair every
day. Get a neighbor to come over, run a rake through it.
Exactly.
I mean, what do you do?
A man chose a very public way to break up with his girlfriend at a minor league baseball game in Ohio. Officials confirm a man paid $5 for a seventh inning message at the Akron Rubber Ducks game earlier this week that read, "Alyssa, this relationship is over. Tim." The message quickly went viral on social media. While the message was legitimate, neither Tim or his assumed now ex-girlfriend, Alyssa, have been identified or come forward.
I think proposals on the scoreboard are really on the fence of being like an acceptable thing to do. I mean, if both of you are big time sports fans, maybe. You know, but it's questionable,
sure.
Right?
Like, cause there's always a risk.
Yeah, because you're, you know, potentially embarrassing your soon-to-be wife, hopefully. But a breakup is just unquestionably horrible.
Yeah.
To do on a scoreboard, to call it out in front of the entire stadium? Oh, that's horrible.
I was on the Kiss Cam once at the Penguins game, and it was just a date.
Oh.
It was when I was working for the Penguins doing game night entertainment, and I went
what
to
do
the
you
game.
Do?
No, what was it that or was it something else at the arena? I don't know, but it was embarrassing.
What did you do?
Well, we had to kiss, and it was like the second and last date, I think.
Okay, I was going to say, had you kissed him yet?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was very awkward and embarrassing, and that, like I said, I think that was our last date.
I mean, I've seen that happen live. Like, somebody went on their first date to a comedy show, sat in the front row.
And got called out.
And then Steve Byrne continued to ask them questions that I don't know if a married couple would be okay with. And I was like, this is their first and last date. Why would you go to a comedy club? This is a risky one.
And sit up front.
Right. Sit right in the front.
Yeah. In music news, In Utero is no doubt a dark album, so much so that Dave Grohl has a hard time listening to it from front to back. In an excerpt from the updated version of his 2011 biography, This Is a Call, The Life and Times of Dave Grohl, the former Nirvana drummer explained why the band's third and final album makes his skin crawl. He goes on to explain how In Utero and its hugely successful predecessor, Nevermind, are two totally different albums. In fact, the album, he said, was a response to the success and sound of Nevermind. The updated version of This Is a Call is slated to be published on September 2nd. And finally,
Morning Show.
It's Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show. Your radio home of the Steelers, 102.5 DVE. We were talking yesterday at this time about the power of Renegade. But you know, there was another song that had a whole lot of power in this town. And sometimes people forget about it. And it also, like Renegade, holds a lot of power. Here We Go. The Here We Go, that song.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know about that.
Iconic.
The background of that. That's why, you know, there's a new Behind the Music about that guy. Tonight on Behind the Music, we take a look at a fight song legend. We'll take you behind the scenes as we chronicle the creative struggles and triumphs of the artist known as the guy who came up with the Here We Go song.
Here we go.
Born in the outskirts of the steel mining town of Pittsburgh, the Here We Go guy fell in love with the majestic polkas and Myron Cope towel-waving anthems that filled the nighttime air of his rural hometown, where he dreamed of one day penning his own fight song. Remembers his current wife, then girlfriend, Barb.
He used to try out song titles on me like, "Honey, what about Kick Some Butt?" or "All the Way." You know, he was playing with the lyrics and that. He was always doing it. And always to the same melody. It was really annoying. I'd say, "Honey, walk the dog." And he'd go, "Walk the dog. Honey, call your mom. Call your mom." I tell you, he had knocked me up.
Super Bowl shuffles came and went, and the Here We Go guy waited for his chance. Then one day, his co-worker, Tommy Yudeski, said the words that would be forever immortalized.
I told him to quit singing that friggin' melody or I was gonna kick his ass. And all he said was, "Kick his ass." I said, "Keep it up, smartass." He goes, "Keep it up." I says, "Oh, it's time to go. That's it. Here we go." And he goes, "Here we go." And it was like the whole mill went silent. And then he said it again. "Here we go." And then everyone in the mill started clapping. "Here we go, Steelers. Here we go." And the room went strangely quiet. And the Here We Go guy looks up and says, "Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl. Here we go." And then we all kind of laugh, but he just kept doing it. We were all like, "All right, jackass, that's enough. Cut it out. It's really annoying. You're going to hell with that joke."
When we come back, the Here We Go guy hits rock bottom trying to come up with a rhyme for Roethlisberger. On Behind the Music, Here We Go guy. Is the Here We Go guy. Now, he amended it every year. And I didn't realize this. He did another one this past year. This is from December 2020.
Coach Tom.
Tomlin is ready to win. With Johnson, Juju, Claypool, and Ben. We'll go to Connor when we need a touchdown. If you get in his way, he's gonna knock you around.
Okay, so all right, kill that joke.
Now we
so
know that
me
not
thinking,
to be true.
No, but we just
not. He's actually not.
But let's. We should just have him continually every time there's Steeler news or updates. Just have him do it in that form. That's how all the Steeler news should be broken to us from now on. We lost Bud, Vince, and Mike Hilton. Here we go. We let Filer walk and Steve and Nelson. There they
there
go.
They if, Juju, go.
If Juju's logo dances make you see red, wait till Claypool kicks you right in the head. Here we go.
Relay.com.
DVE Sports.
I'm Mike Pursuit of Fort, DVE Sports, brought to you this hour by Bridgeville Appliance. The preseason finale kicks off tonight in Carolina. The Steelers at the Carolina Panthers. And for the coaching staff, in-game opportunities to evaluate, such as the one the Steelers will have tonight, are invaluable. Here's offensive coordinator Matt Canada.
It's a great opportunity to watch guys, you know, in a game situation, you know, with everybody out watching, the lights are on. I mean, it's a different environment than a scrimmage you might have or something like that. So I've certainly enjoyed it. You know, for us, every day is just a work day, and I do appreciate that, the way we handle it, the way coach sets it up. But it's been a great experience to watch, learn.
Yeah, Canada and the rest of the coaches did not have that opportunity a year ago. Of course, Canada wasn't the offensive coordinator a year ago, so it's timely for him that the preseason games returned. In terms of evaluating the offensive rookies atop the Steelers' draft class, well, Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth and Kendrick Green and Dan Moore Jr. have already passed the audition.
Well, I was just hanging out during the selection. I'm not taking any part of that. Obviously, you know, Mr. Urie and Mr. Colbert and Coach made great decisions and that whole staff. But as far as from a coaching perspective, once they got here, you look at Naj, and I've talked about it, his work ethic, his football IQ, the way he's picked things up. Obviously, there's a lot, and we're growing, we're working. I said it last week, we're going to go right up until we get to Buffalo as far as, you know, teaching and working at it. But all those things, he's done a great job at. The same with Pat. I think he's done a great job. And, you know, obviously, you guys saw some flashes of him, but they're still learning and growth there. And then KG and Dan up front of both. That's, you know, go up there and play up front. In the NFL, there's a lot to it. So all four of those guys are really football guys, have come in and acted like pros. And from a coaching perspective, we're very happy with the way they work at it. Very happy.
Now, you heard that a lot about this, acted like pros, which is not something that happens all the time. Because they're not, I mean, they got to learn that usually.
Right.
It's these guys have a quality about them collectively, that, like a sense of purpose, and they seem to understand how to navigate the process. Mm-hmm. Which I'm not sure how they picked that up because they've never been through it before, but here they are. And in that instance, Canada was asked specifically about those guys, but it's really hit me how many times somebody has referenced Najee Harris when his name wasn't in the conversation at that point.
I love that.
Either how, you know, how hard he's working or how good he is at something or how his attitude and his engagement.
It helps if you go to Alabama, Mike. I mean, we might as well call that the minor league of the NFL because it's a short step in a quick hop to the NFL.
Yeah, I think certainly those guys, you know, they give you all the statistics about how few college players actually make it to the NFL, but I think they're operating on a different set of parameters down in Alabama. Mm-hmm. You get to Alabama and you start and you do anything at all, and this is probably assumed that this is going to happen for you. Mm-hmm. The next, you know, yeah, you play here for a while and then you go play in the NFL. Najee Harris won't be doing that tonight. A lot of the Steelers' regulars won't, according to Mike Tomlin. Carolina is going to play its starters with a few exceptions. The Panthers' website yesterday said Christian McCaffrey won't be playing, but Sam Darnold will. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting test for the Steelers, different than the usual, you know, let's get this over with last preseason game. a better evaluation for the coaches, a better chance to impress for the guys who do play. As for what we're going to see coming up in the regular season, what the Steelers are going to do offensively under Canada, a lot of that's going to depend on, naturally, what quarterback Ben Roethlisberger likes to do.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're all that matters is we actually had a conversation about that after he was out. And he was still engaged on the phones throughout the game last week once he was done playing. And I think Ben and I have a very similar, you know, belief that all we want to do is win games. And we're going to work together. And I've said it from day one. I've learned from him. I listen to him. And obviously we have things that, you know, let's give this a look on both sides. You know, maybe we're doing this and this is a thought I had. And give this a look, and hey, look at this from his perspective. And all we're trying to do is find a way to score one more point in the team we play every week we play. That's our only goal, and I think, you know, all of us are doing that, certainly not minimizing the great, you know, the great ability and knowledge of the game Ben has, and I've said that multiple times. We're going to use everything we can to get that done.
Won't see Ben Roethlisberger tonight either, but Steelers and the Panthers, 7:30 in Charlotte. The Pirates came up with an 8-run bottom of the seventh last night at PNC Park and beat the Cardinals 11-7. Bucks improved to 47-81 on the season, so they, for a night at least, staved off another losing season. If they win the rest of them, they finish 500.
One step closer to hamburger heaven for Randy.
Yeah. Well, they got to go 12-22 to get to 59 wins. That would be a record of 59-103, but 59 was their Vegas over-under win total for the season. They have to go 16-18 to get to 63-99 and avoid a 100-loss season. Bucks will do it again with the Cardinals tonight at PNC Park. Jay Happ for the visitors, 7-6 with a 5.88 ERA. Dylan Peters for the Pirates, 0-1. 1.86. That's 5 out of 7 on the right side for the Pirates after they had dropped 15 of 17. In case you stopped paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
When, if you did, understandable.
Mike, back to the new guys for 1 second. All the draftees this year coming in acting like pros. I remember back to the Terrell Edmunds draft where the Steelers had a very purposeful and intentional shift in my mind to start going after character guys. And couple that with you have right now needs. You're looking for players that are ready to go. So yeah. Who you're looking for is different. And the type of guy you're looking for is different. So maybe you're not willing to take a risk because it's a position where you can coach them up and give them a few years on the bench.
Because you know you need them.
You got to get those kind of guys now.
And maybe those kind of guys that can do that are the guys you're looking for anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you don't have that poise and character and understanding, you're probably not going to be able to play.
Shouldn't
right
be
away.
Here. Yeah.
So it's working out so far. These guys, I mean, there was a lot of excitement. There always is when you draft guys, but until you actually see them go out there and do it. And, you know, we'll have to reset that bar starting September the 12th. I mean, just because you look good in August. It's a whole other ball game in September, but so far so good. It's been a really interesting preseason for the Steelers.
Thanks, Mike, and we're gonna hear from PFT commenter. He joined us yesterday at 8:15. But we'll replay that for you this morning. Sean Collier and Dale Lally joining us this morning as well. It's a DV.
No.
Joining us now, PFT commenter, brought to us by Yuengling Traditional Lager. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. I'm trying something new for the first time this morning, actually. I don't know if you guys have ever had coffee with butter in it. You guys tried that?
I have. With the MCT oil as well? Or what is it, grass-fed butter? Or what are you doing?
It's got MCT in it. I don't know what MCT is. Honestly, when I placed my order, I thought it was a drug. And then I looked it up afterwards, and I guess it's like some sort of good for you fat. I don't know. I've gone full yoga mom in the last week.
Wow.
Trying to get on this healthy kick. I'm doing a crash diet for like 2 weeks. I'm on the BB7, the Big Ben method until football season starts. Well, and then I'm sure I'm going to just fall off the ledge big time.
Is this because you're post grit week? I know you guys indulged in a lot of wings while you were on the road.
Yeah, honestly, that has a lot to do with it. I got home from Grit Week, and I was pretty heavy almost the heaviest I've ever been in my life. And so this happens every year, though. You know, we go on the road, we overdo it for a week, and then we just have to come back and press the reset button and lie to ourselves about, you know, making some serious changes. So what usually happens, and I'm in about stage two of this process, is you go, you know, 5 days without really eating a carb, and you exercise once or twice every day. Then by the fifth day, your body is like, what the hell are you doing to me? And right now I'm in the injured phase where it's like, why did you run? You don't run. And so I've got all these, you know, sore sprained muscles, sprained tendons on the left side of my body. So it's forcing me to quit the diet, and then I'll get back to my unhealthy ways. But I'll tell you what, it was a hell of a five-day run there. Like, I probably lost a good 6 pounds in 5 days.
Wow.
And now it's just time for me to balloon up until January.
It's when you get into football season, and then you get into playoffs, and then it's hockey, and then it's hockey playoffs. You really
little off-season.
Right. There's just maybe a few months in the summer.
We always joke that the only times that you're allowed to really go on a diet, or that you can pull off a diet, is like late July, maybe early August, maybe, depending on when you get back from the beach.
Sure.
It's like when you get back from the beach in summer, you have about a week and a half to diet, and then you have like a week-long span after Valentine's Day and before the combine and before the tournaments start, the conference tournaments in basketball. And then you get like a couple weeks after the NCAA tournament's over and before hockey playoffs and NBA playoffs start in like late April. So those are really the only possible times in my life where you can actually pull off a diet. Any other time of the year, it's like, yeah, I'm going to be eating chicken wings. I'm going to be eating Philly cheesesteaks and pizza.
I love that you've looked into this and figured out for the rest of us out there when the times where the diet is most practical. And the injury thing is on point. And I think it's because in our culture, it's like you go from doing nothing, eating total garbage, to thinking that you're going to be the next CrossFit champion. Like, it's no activity, and then it's a kettlebell HIIT workout.
Exactly. It's 1,000 miles an hour. And I've also made a bad decision, like a really, really bad decision. That's I'm going to try to get back out on the rugby field in October and play in my school's alumni game for the first time. And I played in one game like 2.5 years ago, and that was definitely a mistake. But I've been talked into playing in this one game. So now I have to convince myself that, okay, I've got 2 months to get back into rugby shape like I was in my mid-20s. That's not ever going to happen. But you know what? I'm drinking coffee with MCT oil in it this morning, so that's got to count for something. Yeah, that's like 90% is like taking on junk science and being like, you know what? I'm healthy now.
Well, an older guy who's still in great shape, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you had him on the podcast, and obviously you have a pretty significant bet on the line for if he wins a playoff football game, but you also got him to define Fitz magic, and if you could, please share that with our audience.
Yeah, so he basically read from a book, so not really that surprised about Ryan Fitzpatrick defining grit, because he purchased the book of the psychology of grit. So if you guys aren't familiar with that, there's a psychologist named Angela Duckworth out there, and she's number one on my S-word list. I almost cussed. You almost had to use the dump button on me.
Thanks for refraining.
She has monetized grit. She's become like the grit scientist, and she's gone across the country doing lectures, and she's, you know, written books, and she's kind of made a name for herself as being like the thinking person's Johnny Appleseed of grit. And that's not what I'm about. I'm about just being the regular, the gritty Johnny Appleseed of grit. So just like when Fitzpatrick defined it, he was basically saying like it's, you know, perseverance, and it's also like a little bit of you know, not being afraid to throw a 60-yard Hail Mary when your helmet is twisted backwards when you're, you know, out in Las Vegas at the last minute. And his definition of Fitzmagic, he doesn't really believe in Fitzmagic, which only tells me that it's true, because of course, like, if you're the person that's creating the magic, you know the tricks behind the scenes. It's still magic to me when it happens. And so he was talking about like how he just gets amped up in a game and he gets the crazy eyes going, and he said that his whole body starts twitching in the fourth quarter, and he kind of turns into a different person. His eyes go back and forth and his body starts convulsing, and he just gets really excited to be out on the field playing football. And that's Fitzmagic. That is the very definition of Fitzmagic.
It's like
I actually thought the Jim Kelly. Yeah, exactly. He's exactly like Bruce Banner turning into Hulk. That's the fourth quarter when Fitzy gets out there and really starts letting it fly. But I think that Jim Calhoun gave a better definition of what grit was. Maybe the most like poignant definition, because like, you know, we have fun, we joke around a lot when we're out on the road, but Calhoun has survived like a lot of stuff. He's almost died like 9 times in his life, and he's been through the ringer, and he keeps coming back. And you know, he's one of the most successful college basketball coaches of all time. But he was explaining it in a way that made a lot of sense to me, which is that grit is just persevering through things because you actually really, really care about the goal that you're accomplishing.
That's
or the,
me every
the
morning
that you're doing. Yes. So Calhoun, like, obviously loves basketball so much. He loves affecting children's lives and, like, helping kids out, you know, maybe have some bad situations and improve themselves. He cares about that so very deeply that, like, it really doesn't matter what happens to him. He's always going to go back to being him, which is just, you know, trying to go out there and do everything that he can for the kids. And it's really grit's about love. It's about loving something. And then if you truly love something enough, you're never, ever going to give up the process of helping yourself accomplish those goals and helping others. So I thought that Calhoun gave a great definition. Fitzpatrick, no surprise. I joke with him that it's like the Goodwill Hunting phrase where it's like, oh, you spent $120,000 on an education you could have got at the local library for $295. So he gave the dictionary definition, which is appropriate for a Harvard guy. But I'm all in on Fitzpatrick this year for sure.
I caught a little bit of the Little League World Series over the weekend. I know you saw some of it, too. How about this kid? He threw his fourth no-hitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive. I think you got to, you know, break out the PED test, get Roger Goodell in there with a piece of Tupperware to check him out. I love watching the Little League World Series. I'm very sad that you can't bet on it because that would be something that I would be very much into.
I can't believe you can't.
I know it's probably for the best, honestly. Yeah, it controls, like, I would hate to see these like 12-year-olds Instagram DMs if after the game they blew like a game winning like a ground ball to third base, went between their legs, and then all of a sudden you've got 50-year-olds from all across the United States like screaming at them online. So it's probably for the best, honestly, that you can't.
Definitely.
The Little League World Series, it's always fun to watch, but I don't like the coaches that that know that they're mic'd up, that trot out, you know, the ones that give like the big rah-rah pregame speech,
right.
Or even, you know what's actually like more viral than the pregame speech is the postgame speech after they lose, and then the coach like going around and telling all the kids what makes them special and stuff. Like, you can tell that the coaches know that they're mic'd up for that situation.
Oh,
and
sure.
That's their time to shine. I don't care for that, but I do love the bat flipping in little leagues. Like, these kids are tossing bats that are twice as long as their entire body, and they're throwing them to the moon. It's great. It's great fun. And you know what? Little League World Series, it's such a pure sport that it manages to fill that little gap. Like, right when preseason football starts to get boring, that's when the Little League World Series comes in and saves us for a couple weeks until football starts. So I'm very thankful that it's on.
I feel like half these kids are probably more than that, are so savvy. They're probably already working on their brands.
Oh, yeah. Name, image, and likeness for these kids. But yeah, they should absolutely get it. Like, can you imagine a like 12-year-old doing a car commercial? That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I want to see all that. See, that's what I don't get. Like, if you're 12 years old and you throw in 4 no-hitters, are you allowed to get – are you allowed to get paid? Are you allowed to get a sponsorship before you go to college? I don't know how any of that works. But,
yeah, with the new rules.
I definitely want to see it happen. And there are ways around. Like, I can't wait to see how some of these big like SEC schools are going to exploit the name, image, likeness thing. And just like, you know, they're going to have car dealerships name themselves after Arch Manning for 4 years. And just like throw a bag at him. Arch Manning's going to have like $40 million in his bank account before he ever plays a snap of professional football. So that's going to be fun to watch.
Steelers named Dwayne Haskins the starter for their fourth and final preseason game. Will you be rage watching, and will you be upset if Dwayne Haskins gets good here? Or do you wish cast-offs well? How does that work?
Well, as a Washington football team fan, that's something that I have a lot of experience in. And for a while, my personal Super Bowl was just wishing good things for our former players after they got out of there and got into a good situation. Like Trent Williams, I'm always going to be rooting for him. Any guy that manages to escape Ashburn, Virginia, I usually have I want to see the best for them. Now, I think that we've kind of turned a little corner here with the new additions that we've made to the front office. We kind of changed a lot of things. We changed our name. We changed everything about the team. So I feel like things are a little bit different here. But with Haskins, I'm going to be rooting for him because, like, I think he would probably tell you that he deserved to get cut in Washington. Like, he didn't play well ever. He went out twice to stripper parties when our coach was recovering from chemotherapy. So I think he would probably be the first to tell you that he's made some mistakes. But I honestly wish nothing but the best for him. He's like somebody that you dated for 2 weeks. And you're like, wow, that was I thought that we were really going somewhere after the first night we met when we were like 18 beers deep out at the bar. we both very quickly realized nothing about this relationship works. So, yeah, I wish the best for you. I'm going to unfollow you on Instagram. But, my mom's still following you on Facebook. So that's kind of how it works out for us and Dwayne. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. He's looked great this preseason. So, yeah, like as much as it might sound like I'm lying about this, I truly wish that Dwayne Haskins becomes an elite starting quarterback at some point. I don't think it's going to happen based on what I've seen, but he certainly looks a lot better than he did when he was in D.C. And also it's for a very selfish reason, which is I campaigned loudly for Dwayne Haskins. I wanted to draft Dwayne Haskins. So as much as I have been wrong about that, I still have this idea that maybe if Dwayne Haskins improves his career and ends up becoming a starting quarterback and plays well, then I can be like, see, I was right, even though I was definitely wrong. So it's for very selfish reasons as well.
PFT commenter brought to us by Yuengling Traditional Lager. Thanks for joining us this morning. It was great having you in the studio last week, too.
Yes, it was great to see you guys. Thank you for the beer. Thank you for the Permanente sandwiches. Thank you for the hot sauce that went along with it. That hot sauce fits different on those sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Well, really does.
Good luck with your wellness plan moving forward.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm probably going to just drink 4 more cups of coffee with this MCT oil in it. Probably just going to start injecting MCT oil. I don't know what it is, though, but I don't know. Just get it in my veins.
All right, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Pittsburgh.
Jurassic Park, the original, is one of my favorite movies ever. I have the poster up in my office to this day.
Oh, yeah.
And I like the most recent one, Jurassic World. I am very friendly to dinosaur-related content. But Fallen Kingdom, it's just really, really dumb.
It needs an intervention. Like, can you guys stop? Please, you stop?
Here's the premise. Sir, and I know you're going to make a sequel to Jurassic World. I understand. You have to do one of two things. Either people have to go to the island for some reason, or the dinosaurs have to come here for some reason. That's all you got to do. Instead, this is how we begin. Whoops, we built the park on a volcano. And the volcano is exploding now.
God, we had one job.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
11 after 7 at DVE. Here's the Channel 11 Severe Weather Center.
On Severe Weather Center 11.
68 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Keystone Basement Systems, highest rated, most trusted, KeystoneBasementSystems.com. I'm Val Porter. President Biden is pledging to strike back after 13 service members were killed in 2 Afghanistan bombings. He ordered military commanders to come up with a plan, saying ISIS terrorists won't win. He vowed to continue rescuing Americans in Afghanistan and allies despite threats of another attack. As of last night, there were about 500 or about 5,000 rather people on the airfield awaiting flights. The deadline to withdraw all U.S. troops is Tuesday. A Republican congressman is calling on Vice President Kamala Harris to invoke the 25th Amendment and remove President Biden from office. Freshman Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina wrote a letter to Harris claiming, quote, our nation is at a crisis point, end quote, following Thursday's deadly attack in Afghanistan. Cawthorn wrote, quote, I cannot sit idly by and watch the nation that I love spiral into death and devastation because our leader cannot discharge his duties, end quote. A state panel says Pittsburgh Public School Superintendent Anthony Hamlet violated Pennsylvania's Ethics Act over travel expenses and cash payments for speeches. Pennsylvania Ethics Commission has released a report. That happened yesterday. It also said Hamlet failed to disclose his financial interests over a two-year period. In response, Hamlet says the report failed to find any intent to deceive families, his staff, and Pennsylvania taxpayers. He says he's done nothing wrong, and he feels as though he has been given a fresh start following that two-year investigation. The number of newly diagnosed COVID-19 cases continues to rise again in Western PA and across the country. Public health officials yesterday reporting 251 new cases in Allegheny County, Westmoreland County at 88 new cases. Pennsylvania Department of Health listed 3,333 new cases across the Commonwealth and 27 deaths. People who catch COVID-19 have a higher risk of blood clots than being vaccinated against the virus. A new study out in the British Medical Journal looked at more than 29 million people who had gotten a dose of the Pfizer and Oxford AstraZeneca vaccines. They found just 66 out of every 10 million people vaccinated were hospitalized or died from blood clots. That's compared to more than 12,000 for those who tested positive for COVID-19. Veterans struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder have some new allies in fighting their battles. President Biden on Wednesday signed a bill called the Puppies Assisting Wounded Service Members for Veterans, or PAWS Act. It requires the VA to set up a five-year program to provide service dogs and training for vets with PTSD. New Jersey Democratic Congresswoman Mickey Sherrill, a Navy veteran who co-sponsored the bill, said in a tweet that similar programs have shown great results with veterans. The world's biggest semiconductor chip maker is raising prices about 10%. That means it could cost more to buy electronics and smartphones. Less advanced chips used by car makers will cost about 20% more. Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company known as TSMC expects to use revenue from the higher prices to address the worldwide chip shortage that has slowed production for Apple and for most car makers. A Florida woman is accused of going to great lengths to get paid without having to work. Panama City's Hannah Frith was arrested this week for grand theft for allegedly defrauding her employer and co-workers out of paid leave and benefits. Prosecutors say the 33-year-old lied about being pregnant and provided fake doctor's notes about various illnesses so she could collect paid time off for over a year. She was out of work for so long that her co-workers donated some of their paid leave to her. And her employer even gave her more than $17,000 in additional benefits. So she is now going to be in big, big trouble. Lots of time to relax and not work.
Right.
Did your parents smoke?
Yes.
Bill, I know, both your parents?
No, just my mom.
Yeah, my dad smoked until he was about 40. Well, we can blame them for our wrinkles. A new study from the Barcelona Institute for Global Health found that exposure to smoke as an infant accelerates aging in the body.
Yeah.
Which I don't remember my dad smoking, so I'm guessing that he didn't smoke much around me, but.
Okay, well, my mom smoked enough for both my mom and dad and the whole family, really. She was smoking for all of us.
What did she smoke?
In the house. Merit Light 100s.
Okay.
And I told you, we had this big crystal, we had a crystal one and we had a marble one that was an ashtray the size of a hubcap that was the centerpiece of our kitchen table.
My grandma smoked Pall Malls.
Oh.
And every time I hear a Zippo lighter, I just think of her. That
oh,
click.
Yeah. Oh, remember? Yeah.
Zippo.
My mom had the sequined pouch for her cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That had the side pocket for the lighter.
Yep.
But we never had like a quality lighter. It was always like the, you know, the Bic 3-pack or so, you know, just constantly losing lighters or losing fluid to lighters.
Yeah, my grandmother was so dedicated to it. Her Zippo lighter was engraved with her nickname.
Went to All Things Remembered.
Right.
That's really nice.
Well, a new survey found the average woman feels the most confident with her looks at age 32. That sounds about right. Doesn't mean that our confidence plummets after that, though. It actually goes up for most women. Almost two-thirds say the older they get, the more confident they are in general. And here are the top five reasons. We just care less about what other people think. Right. Which, yes, I can attest to that. Yes. It's like, oh, you don't like what I'm wearing? Well, that's your problem. Right. You feel more settled down in life. It gets easier to embrace changes in your looks.
It does, but it takes a while. It really does.
Well, unless you want to spend a lot of money for surgery, what's your choice? You get more support from friends and family, and you feel more confident at work, and you know you're good at your job. The Food Network entering the world of scripted films. Variety reports the Food Network teamed up with Discovery Plus to create Candy-Coated Christmas. So it sounds very Hallmarky. The film will star the pioneer woman, Ree Drummond. It is set to come out on Discovery Plus sometime in November, which I'm surprised it's not out already because I know Hallmark showed Christmas movies in July.
Oh, yeah. They crank them up.
So,
at least it's that and not the Guy Fieri Jackass mashup.
Which sounds like something that would happen.
To launch you into a giant vat of
nachos.
Nacho shrimp.
And as was reported last week, the Beatles will indeed release on October 15th an expanded edition of their 1970 album, Let It Be. That will coincide with their new Get Back documentary, which will air in November. Like the deluxe reissues of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in 2017, the Beatles' White Album in 2018, and Abbey Road in 2019, Let It Be has been newly mixed in stereo, 5.1 surround DTS and Dolby Atmos by the late George Martin's son, Giles Martin. All these versions feature the new stereo mix of the album as guided by the original reproduced for disc version by Phil Spector, and sourced directly from the original session and rooftop performance 8-track tapes. Forecast today, hot and humid, chance of storms, about, close to 90 again today. Pretty much the same as it's been the last couple of days at 68 at DVE. Joining us now, Sean Collier. How are you, Sean?
I'm all right. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
We're good.
What do you got for us today?
Well, it's a big one. Is the new Candyman film has been released.
Don't say that name four more times, please.
No, I absolutely won't. That's, you know, this is how you know the original was effective, because I'm not, you know, a superstitious person. I don't tend to try to avoid, you know, bad luck and hexes of any kind. Right. Something of a skeptic. And yet, I've never said Candyman five times in a mirror, and I never will.
Never.
No chance.
So our question earlier was, is this a remake or a sequel?
This is a sequel.
Okay.
It does do this annoying thing that especially horror movies, but a number of different things have done, where the sequel just has the exact same name as the original film.
Is Virginia Madsen in it?
Virginia Madsen is in it in a voice performance.
Okay.
You will hear from her briefly. Yeah, I don't know why Candyman colon something wouldn't have worked. This Halloween did that. Scream is in production right now. They're just calling it Scream. I thought there were creative people out of us. We can't do a subtitle. Anything. I've been waiting for this for a long time because the first trailers came out like in the middle of 2019.
They look so good.
Which, you know, was 18 years ago. So, and the trailers looked great. It's exciting. Jordan Peele is a producer, but Naya DaCosta is the director. And in short, it's great. I really enjoyed it a lot. It's very heavy subject matter, as was the original. The original, you know, was one of the, kind of gets lumped in with some of the slashers. It's not a Friday the 13th. It's not a Nightmare on Elm Street. This was a movie set in a notorious Chicago housing project that really dealt with, you know, the stories and the legends that build up around all of the trauma there. This one is the same way, if anything, taking even a more serious look at it. So if you think you're going in getting Halloween or A Quiet Place, this is a much more, you know, kind of somber picture.
I remember seeing the original Candyman in the 90s, and maybe you noticed this, Val, but I don't think I paid attention to the social commentary aspect of it.
No,
like, I missed
definitely.
That.
No, the first time I saw it, I thought, oh, this one's a little different, and just appreciated, you know, great villain and kind of cool atmosphere. When I saw it a second and third time, that's when I really understood, oh, there's something serious going on here. Mm-hmm. You still will have a good time. They recap the events of the original enough, and it's so visually impressive that, you know, no one's going to go in there and not appreciate the movie. But I think if you really go in and take a serious look at it, it's really something impressive and scary. My advice is, my favorite thing about the way it was made, you can always find him in reflections, right? Because you say the name in the mirror. So when you're looking at the movie, don't just look at the character. If there's a window behind them or a little bit of a mirror, keep your eye on it, and he's going to be there. And it's so scary to keep seeing him like that over and over again over the course of this movie. And whatever you do, don't go and say his name in the mirror when you get home. You know why I'm not doing it? There's no good outcome. Probably nothing. Maybe I die. It's not either nothing, die, or a nice sandwich
appears. A pointless risk to take.
Here's the new slot machine. You'll never win, and sometimes it punches you. No, I'm not playing that one. No, I enjoyed Candyman a lot. Also out on Hulu, Vacation Friends is the name of it. Lil Rel.
Again, not a great title.
No, that's not going to, you know, convince me in a world of billions of streaming options to sit down. It's Lil Rel and John Cena. John Cena is in every third movie now.
He's really taken a rock-like trajectory here.
He's trying to get there. I wonder if he has, and I like him a lot, I wonder if he has the, you know, charisma to
he's not quite there. No, not even close. If there was no Rock, he would be okay.
Yes,
but he can't compete with
but
the
we
Rock.
Know that there's a Rock,
but there's also a Dave Bautista who is less interesting than John Cena lately. And I like all three of them, as long as there's always a worse one, right? This is on Hulu. You know, it's a forgettable kind of comedy. Lil Rel's family meets John Cena's family, who are, you know, wild and wacky surfer types on vacation and have hijinks. The nice thing, there's almost two complete stories in here. There's one where they're like loosening up on vacation, and then it switches to Lil Rel is getting married and the crazy people show up. And that was nice, because in a lot of cases, that would be the sequel I didn't want to watch. They just mashed them both into one movie.
Save some time
for
you.
That was nice of them. It's nothing fantastic. The best I could say is if you're the one person who Hulu is the only streaming service you have, you can put this on and nod off on the couch this weekend. But other than that, nothing to write home about.
I will say I watched, I think it's called My Spy with Dave Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very cute movie.
That had some moments. When he is...
He's funny.
When the child is interrogating him in My Spy. I'm so glad that this didn't happen. But right when the pandemic hit, the last critic screening I had seen was My Spy. And I just remember thinking, I hope this industry survives, because I don't want My Spy to have been the final round. Fortunately, we avoided that. And the retro pick of the week, Stripes. It's the 40th anniversary of Stripes.
Nice.
Playing.
That's a fact, Jack.
Harold Ramis, 40 years ago, told us how to respond anytime anyone asks if you're gay. We are not homosexual, but we are willing to learn. That's at the Cinemarks in the 40th anniversary screenings this Sunday.
Very good. Thanks, Sean. Mike Pursuta coming up next with sports. It's a
stop back to school.
DVE Sports.
I'm Mike Pursuta for DVE Sports, brought to you this hour by Kia. The Steelers conclude their preseason tonight in Charlotte against the Carolina Panthers. Dwayne Haskins getting the start at quarterback. Is this just another chance to develop Haskins and continue to see where he's headed in his restart with the Steelers, or does he actually have a chance to steal that backup quarterback gig from Mason Rudolph's clutches Mike Tomlin knows the answer to that. I don't think anybody else does. But it's going to be interesting to watch Haskins play tonight either way. The Panthers are going to play a lot of the main guys for significant stretches. At least that is the plan, reportedly coming out of Carolina. And the Steelers are not going to play many of their regulars. Haskins will be behind the starting offensive line, at least initially, but he's not going to be throwing the Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson, I'm guessing. So what can he accomplish in this last shot to make a statement? He's already been talking long and loud this preseason. He talked about that this week as being a result of having his confidence back, and that's resulted from, among other things, a fresh start and an understanding of how he got here.
It's just a combination of everything. Really just trusting myself and believing in myself and taking a lot of time to, you know, self-reflect on things. And then, of course, be in a situation where people around you want to see you succeed. So that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, just kind of snuck that self-reflection in there.
Right under the door.
That's probably a big part of it, right?
I mean, huge.
He's got to know he really screwed it up in Washington. From the 15th overall pick to the street in two seasons.
It's never happened, right, Mike?
I mean,
I can't think of a player that flamed out that quickly with an organization.
That was picked that high. You know, they make that kind of investment in you, and then they just decide really quickly, no, we are way better off without you. But the Steelers are glad he's here, and he has produced in the preseason. Now, it hasn't been with the varsity, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, but Haskins' skill set has been on display. He's confident in his game, and he's also confident that he'll have the respect of his teammates, and if it comes to that, he'll be able to lead.
Yeah, I mean, I always felt like my teammates, you know, gravitate towards me, and I feel like I have a great relationship with the guys, not only on the field, but in the locker room and in the weight room, walking around. We hang out with the guys and, like, going to movies, or we go out to eat, get dinner, stuff like that. So I feel like there's great camaraderie as far as me and, of course, with other quarterbacks and other teammates on the team. So I'm doing my job to make sure that the guys around me know that, you know, I'm working and be trusting that I'm working and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I think there's no question in that.
You know, if it goes well for Haskins tonight, it's going to shed a lot of light on decision-making on the part of the Steelers coaching staff in terms of, do they value preseason game production or practice, or is there an established order going into it and it takes a seismic event to change that, what they perceive to be the national order of things? You look at the game so far, and Haskins has far outshined Mason Rudolph in terms of
stats,
putting points on the board.
Yeah.
Rudolph has 9 preseason drives in the first 3 games, 4 punts, 1 turnover, 1 missed field goal, and 3 successful field goals. Those were all in the Detroit game.
Yeah, never got in the end
zone. Never got him in the end zone. Haskins has had 12 possessions. Now, 2 of those really don't count because one of them was an end of the game and one of them was the end of a half where they were just killing the clock.
Mm-hmm.
In the other 10, 3 punts, 4 touchdowns, 3 field goals, which is lights out. What if he goes out there tonight and puts up 21 first half points?
I mean, there's no question, Mike, that the upside that Haskins has not been realized. And it's incredible. And that's why you're giving him a chance. I think it's a great move that the Steelers made. Because if it doesn't work out, it didn't cost you anything.
Right.
And if it does, well, wow, you bought low. And you might have a replacement for Ben, potentially.
Well, could you imagine finding that on the street for nothing?
I mean,
long way from there yet. Let's keep that in perspective. But
sure.
So far, so good for Dwayne Haskins. Really has been a fit, at least in July and August. In part, Haskins said, because of a perceived familiarity on his part in terms of offensive coordinator Matt Canada understanding how Haskins plays.
I feel like Coach Canada, you know, he coached at Maryland. He kind of knows the type of player I am. I mean, played against him in college, recruited me in high school. So I kind of feel like he has a sense of what I do well and what I don't do well, or things that I, can improve on or get better at. And He knows what to call for me in a sense of what I like, and I feel like we have great communication in that way. So just being here with Coach Canada and then and the rest of the coaching staff, I feel like they do a great job of, you know, helping the players. They say that, you know, we want you to do what you have to do so, you know, we can be able to get the best out of you when we need you to do it. So I think that's probably the biggest thing.
DVE pregame is at 3:30 this afternoon. The Steelers Radio Network pregame show takes over at 5:30 and kickoff set for 7:30 tonight in Charlottesville.
Very good. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dale Lawley, and he's from DK on Pittsburgh Sports and also part of the DVE Steelers pregame show. We'll hear what he has to say next. DVE Morning Show. I'm Val Porter, Bill Crawford, Mike Rasuda, producer Joe Rakicki, Sean Collier here, Randy Bauman on vacation. An extended vacation through Labor Day. Joining us now, Dale Lawley at DK on Pittsburgh Sports and also part of the DVE Steelers pregame show. How are you this morning, Dale?
I'm great, Val. I hope Pittsburgh still hasn't melted off the map yet, has it?
No, we're all right, or rained off, you know.
We're a little swampy, though.
Or that.
Yes, it is.
It's raining here today. Wow.
Well, no, okay. But not right now, but it has rained parts of the last two or three days, so.
Yeah, usually when it gets up to about 150 degrees, then it's going to rain.
Right about dinner time. So, Dale, who in particular are you going to be watching tonight to see what they've got, what their last-ditch effort is, other than Dwayne Haskins, maybe?
Well, I think this is a big game for Benny Snell. You know, he's missed basically the entire preseason. And, you know, I think Kalen Ballage and Anthony McFarland have kind of moved past him here. So, you know, he needs to show that he can be in every down back and have a good game tonight. I don't know if they'll you know, run him on special teams as well. You know, in addition to being a guy that gets probably 15 carries in this game. So big game for him. Obviously I don't think the punting situation is that big of a deal. I think, you know, everything being equal, they give the job to Presley Harvin. You know, there's some other spots there. I want to see, can Matthew Sexton be a guy that, is their punt returner? And if that's the case, you know, does Ray McLeod have a spot on this team? You know, I don't know about that, because it's all going to come down to those numbers for those last couple of spots here. And it really depends on who does what tonight.
Dale, how do you see it shaking out, the epic battle at long snapper? Is it going to be Canada? Is Kuntz going to steal it from him at the last minute? And the next question is, how do you determine what's good at long snapping or what's better than the other guy?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bill. You know, I think that, you know, they time them, you know, constantly. You know, is this guy, you know, I don't even know what the time is. I don't know what a good time is for a long snapper.
Neither do I.
But, you know, is it on target? Is it quick? And then you start looking at, okay, is this guy better running down the field? Would you trust him to make a tackle more? I'll say this about Kuntz. You know, he's a linebacker by trade. You know, so, you know, could he, he's not going to play linebacker in the NFL, but at least he's tackled some people. Whereas, you know, I think Canada's just a long snapper. So a little bit of a difference there. They're both good sized guys though.
Dale, as I'm looking over the roster, you know, we've all been kind of doing our 53s as we proceed here and, you know, scratch this guy off, add this guy on. I got 9 defensive backs, and I don't have another one. That might be a light number for what they normally like to carry, but how do you see the secondary shaking out?
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike, and I think they definitely scour the waiver wire here, you know, over the next few days when the cuts start to happen, you know, to try to find somebody else here. I don't know that they can make a trade for anybody because they've already dealt away, you know, most of their late round picks for next year. So, you know, I think that, you know, you have to look at the numbers there. Obviously, you know who the starters are. And then beyond that, you know, I think Justin Lane has earned a spot. Obviously, James Pierre is going to be the outside guy in the nickel. You know, I think the safeties are pretty much straightforward, and then I think Millett makes it, unless they find somebody better. And you know, I would definitely be looking for that if I'm the Steelers.
Yeah, that's my nine guys, and I can't, in good conscience, put a tenth one on there right now.
No, I mean, I've liked some of what I've seen from Gilbert. I can't even think of his first name now. Was it Mark? Mark Gilbert.
Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's promising, but I think he's practice squad material. Other than that, I just don't see anybody there that, oh, boy, that guy's got to make the team. I mean, you know, Donovan Steiner had an interception in the preseason opener, but that's the only time I've ever noticed him. I just don't see anybody else there. So I do think that they'll be looking, and probably for somebody who is a slot cornerback type.
What do you make of the Norwood experiment tonight? Is that just kind of exploratory, or do you think they're actually seriously pondering that?
I mean, I think they're kind of in a spot here. I think they really hope that Antoine Brooks could be that guy, and then he couldn't stay on the football field. And so now they're like, okay, we better find something else here. And again, I think that's why they're going to be looking at that waiver wire, to find somebody who could do that kind of thing. You know, and if he can prove that he can do that, I mean, one of the things that they described about him, I've heard some comparisons of him to Cam Sutton, you know, in terms of his ability, above the neck ability to kind of soak things in. So if he can do that and be your backup free safety, that's pretty valuable. So, you know, I think you take a look at it. I don't expect that to, you know, him to be the starting nickel cornerback when they roll into Buffalo on September 12th for sure. But, you know, I think he could be the backup there down the road. And then, you know, then what do you do? I don't. It's one big mess right now, Mike. And I think they would have much rather had that whole thing sorted out right now. You can't have enough defensive backs.
Dale, what about the offensive line? It's one of the biggest storylines coming into this season. Haven't seen those guys all play together. How much do you think we're going to see them all tonight?
I don't think you'll see the right from center right over. I think you'll see the center left over. So I think, you know, you're going to see Chukwu Okorafor at left tackle. You'll see Kevin Dotson at left guard. And then you'll see Kendrick Green at center. I don't know if they play Zach Banner in this game. If they do, it won't be much. And I don't think they play Trey Turner at all. You know, I think those guys, you know, with Turner, I think he's played enough with Kendrick Green throughout over the course of this training camp. They were really the only two early in camp that were practicing consistently. So they've played together quite a bit. You know, the other guys I think can still get better. Obviously, you know, Chooks has not played great in his preseason. So, you know, they need to figure that out. And, you know, I think, you know, the young guy, Dan Moore, looks pretty good. You know, he probably wouldn't have said that after the first week of camp. I think you could agree with that, Mike, that, mm-hmm. that he was not looking all that sharp. And then all of a sudden, just the light went on for him. So, you know, that's promising for them. You know, I think B.J. Finney and J.C. Hassenauer are two decent interior guys, and then we'll see about the rest of it. Again, I don't love any of the other options. I don't know about you, Mike.
I got nine because I think there's no way they don't have nine. But
you have to have nine. But
Joe Haig's my last guy, and not thrilled about that. Last thing for you, Dale. Stephon Tuitt's on my 53. Is he going to be available on theirs?
I think he will be. You know, I don't know if you kind of noticed this, but it sure seemed like over the last couple of days that T.J. Watt was starting to ramp things up at practice, a little bit different practicing than what he'd been doing. Seemed a little more engaged with the team and everything. They had the harness on him, kind of tracking how much he was running. I didn't really see that much over at Heinz Field, but maybe I'm just kind of guessing there or seeing what I wanted to see there. But, you know, I think to it, at some point you gotta do your job. I don't want to be crass about this, but you know, you know, you got to get over these things and move on and do your job. And I think that's the expectation. We'll see whether that happens or not.
Dale Lally, DK on Pittsburgh Sports and part of the DVE pregame show for Steelers football. And we'll hear you this afternoon at 3:30.
All right. Sounds good.
Right,
guys. Thanks.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Thanks for joining us this morning, Dale. Yeah, pregame at 3:30 this afternoon with Dale, Tim Benz, and Rob King. Then 5:30, Mike Pursuta, Jerry Dulac, and Bob Labriola. Kickoff, 7:30, Panthers and Steelers. Bill Hillgrove, Craig Wolfley, Missy Matthews, and Max Starks, all on your flagship for Steelers football, 102.5 DVE.
Harbaugh and Severe Weather Center 11.
69 degrees at DVE. I'm Val Porter. A Butler City police officer remains listed in critical condition this morning after this week's stabbing incident. State police say the officer was responding to a call on Tuesday about a man darting in and out of traffic. When the officer approached the subject, there was a struggle and the officer was stabbed multiple times. He then shot and killed suspect John Eberts. Authorities yesterday identified the injured officer as Michael Sularud. He is a Marine veteran who has been with the department for 3 years. Flags are flying at half staff right now to honor 13 service members killed in Afghanistan. 18 others were injured in bombings outside the Kabul airport. President Biden says they're all heroes who were on dangerous missions to save others. U.S. forces, while mourning the loss of their own, are continuing that work of evacuating American citizens and Afghan allies today. State Department says 500 Americans were evacuated yesterday, with an estimated 1,000 more still looking to get out. The U.K. says it's evacuations will end today. Germany confirms its troops are out as well. President Biden has pledged to withdraw our troops by next Tuesday, bringing to an end 20 years of war started in the wake of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. ISIS-K has claimed responsibility for yesterday's deadly attack. And the Taliban reportedly has a list of American citizens, green card holders, and Afghan allies in Afghanistan given to them by U.S. officials. The list of names was given to allow them entry into the Kabul airport for evacuation, as the Taliban controls all roads leading to the airport. The decision has drawn criticism and outrage from some officials and lawmakers who say it amounts to handing the Taliban a kill list. President Biden says he's not aware of a specific list of names, but admits similar information sharing has happened. A spokesperson for the National Security Council said that in some limited cases, the Taliban is given information that has successfully facilitated evacuations from Kabul. Well, more than 100,000 people are fighting to survive coronavirus. That's the highest number of patients since January. Hospitalization rates are highest in the South, where some states have already run out of ICU beds. Florida has about 17,000 patients, with 14,000 in Texas. Both are on the verge of reaching capacity. Cases are also surging among children, with more than 2,000 hospitalized for the first time in a year. Capitol police officers are suing former President Trump and others over the January 6th Capitol riot. Seven officers have filed a lawsuit accusing Trump, Republican operative Roger Stone, the white supremacist group Proud Boys, and others of being directly responsible for the deadly riot. The lawsuit claims their actions violated the Ku Klux Klan Act and other laws. The NAACP has already filed a similar suit against Trump and his former personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. The U.S. Department of Education will forgive over $1 billion in loans from borrowers who attended ITT Technical Institute. The department says any students who did not finish their degree on or after March 31, 2008, because of the school's closure in 2016, will have their loans forgiven. That affects about 150,000 borrowers. And about 43% are in default. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona said ITT misled students about its financial state by convincing them to take out private loans on unaffordable terms.
One time, Val, I was trying to figure out how to deal with my student loans, and I got some of the worst advice that anybody could get trying to pay off their student loans. They said, oh, why don't you go into default? That way they'll consider you like a real flight risk, and maybe they'll be
they'll negotiate with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, if you're delinquent
like
for so long, they'll settle with you, and it absolutely demolished my credit score. Like, I just got back above the Mendoza line a couple of years ago. It took a while.
Can we get that forgiveness program for anyone who, like, paid for a theater degree at an undergraduate level? Maybe from a big state school. Yeah, it's. What was the implication that this would lead to income of some kind? Let's not be silly.
I mean, my joke was I wanted to just go to the lender and say, look, you guys took a gamble on me and you lost. I am sorry.
You put it down on that double zero. Would have paid off if it hit big.
The Pittsburgh Shrine Center this weekend is set to play host to the 4th annual North Hills Home Brew Fest. Sunday's event is billed as a celebration of home-brewed beers featuring food trucks, prize raffles, and fun activities. Attendees will be sampling and voting on dozens of beverages created by Steel City Home Brewers. More details can be found by searching North Hills Home Brew Fest on Facebook. Well, bats may be associated with all things spooky, and now people wonder if it's, you know, coronavirus related, but sure. One researcher says we should view bats in a different way. The key to healthy aging. A scientist from University College Dublin has been analyzing bat blood of the longest living bats and found the winged creatures have the ability to repair damaged genes as they age, which is something that goes away in humans as we get older. According to the scientist, he firmly believes the animals hold the key to us having better quality of life as we age. He added a bat-mimicking drug potentially could be available within the next 10 years.
You know, I was just out in Las Vegas. You know the Luxor Pyramid has that big light.
Yes.
That comes straight out of the top of it, shining into the sky. I read that the first thing that happened after they turned it on is it became, you know, the biggest, world's biggest porch light for every moth in the state of Nevada went in there and started just flying around because it was so bright. Then, a couple months later, every bat in the state of Nevada came in to eat the moths.
Oh, wow.
And then some birds of prey showed up to eat the bats. There's this whole ecosystem going on in that beam.
And then the roller coaster with Fabio on it. No.
Went right through. The shocking thing is that they don't charge you $87 for a bat tour now, because that seems like a golden opportunity.
Sure, moneymaker.
Can bats get fat? Because I don't know how many moths you'd have to. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of cardio being a bat.
Mm-hmm. Right. Have you seen the bats at the aviary?
Yeah, they are fascinating and terrifying.
Yeah. Yes.
Terrifying.
They're giant.
Mm-hmm. It's the size of a golden retriever.
Yeah.
And then you're like, this could fly at you unexpectedly.
Right.
What?
They're just fascinating to watch.
I think they're technically, they say, well, they're not really bats. They're some kind of flying fox. Or
yeah.
That doesn't make it less terrifying. I'm still
flying fox was something right. You were doing to ease my worry?
Yeah. Now it has teeth and claws and everything.
Wendy's fries are getting a makeover. Fast food company claiming its fries are going to be hot and crispier than ever before starting mid-September. And although they may look the same, Wendy's president Kurt Kane says there's going to be a noticeable difference in the taste. The company spent the past 4 years upgrading their fries.
They have been
4 years?
They've been trying to figure out the fry for a long time, probably my whole life.
Wendy's fries do not like. So I'm glad they're making these improvements.
Didn't they change them years ago?
Didn't they
make them like look like the fresh cut fries?
Yeah.
I swear they made that change.
Well, and then they started just slathering sea salt on them because they're like, these are healthy. That means they don't have any flavor.
Officials say they've perfected the process of making them by fully submerging them in oil. Well, how do you fry them anyway?
They got a really big air fryer back there.
Maybe.
Just toss them in and put the thing down.
He says the new fries are on track to outperform the old ones and put an end to disappointing and inconsistent fry experiences. I'm glad you spent the 4 years trying to figure that out.
It's incredible how much fry talk has been on this program specifically, but honestly, it's not even a contest. McDonald's, hands down, they are the Michael Jordan of the French fry.
They are good. Five Guys, I'm impressed, though.
Because of the amount?
Well,
it's
that
like
too.
A lunch bag full of them.
They give you the container, and then they just throw a bunch extra in the bag.
The stupidest order in the fast food world is a large fries at Five Guys.
Right.
You're getting it no matter what.
Yeah. So today's weird plane behavior, a TikToker took a video of the passenger across the aisle from him on his crowded plane. Seems she was barefoot doing yoga in her seat. Mm-hmm. Now, not just a simple cross-legged stretch. The woman was upside down in her seat with her head under the seat in front of her.
No, no, you can't do that.
First, her legs were bent at the knee. Then she put them straight up in the air to touch the overhead compartment.
No.
Which, I mean, I'd rather have that than somebody getting duct taped to their seat, but...
Well, she might need to be duct taped.
She may.
Mad when the guy's elbows go past the armrest.
Right.
That's...
It's just too much. You're in a shared space. It's like the guy that I used to go... that goes to my gym used to do jumping jacks and push-ups, and he was doing a HIIT workout in the sauna with five other people in there.
Oh, my. So a new poll asked 2,000 adults what they miss most about being a kid. 50 things. I'm not going to do all 50, but I'm going to do most of them. Not worrying about money. Don't have to worry about student loans.
A huge one. Mm-hmm. A huge one. But also, you worried about money in that you never had any.
Right.
So anything you wanted, you had to go ask your parents for.
Yeah. Or you worried about much smaller amounts, like 50 cents.
Right. Can I get $1.50
right.
so I can buy a slice of pizza, a Cherokee Red, and a Snicker bar after the Little League game?
Remember the first time, you know, you had your little, you know, bank or something that you kept your allowance money in, whatever it was. Remember the first time you hit $200 and you thought, I don't even know what to do with this.
Oh yeah.
This is more money than I ever conceived
of. It's
like
a graduation or some kind of event where everybody's giving you cash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Having long school holidays.
So great.
Which in school, you know, it's like not more than a week, is it?
Yeah, but that's so much time when you're a kid.
If you get vacation as an adult, you can probably get a week.
True.
The magical feeling of Christmas. Well, you can certainly have that as an adult.
Sure.
There's nothing stopping you.
But Christmas is more focused on you. And
as a kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like the whole entire setup is really geared. You're in that primo demographic.
Right. But as an adult, you get the joy out of different things, like seeing the kids happy or the decorations or whatever.
Right. But I'm filled with dread and desperation leading up to the holiday. Right. And then it's magical.
This is a biggie. Always having energy.
Yeah.
What's that like?
You know what I thought recently? I thought I might get, you know, those fillers by my eyebrow because I'm sick of my drooping eyebrow weighing down on my eyes and making me feel sleepier. Didn't have that problem when I was 8.
To pin my eyelids open during the day.
Yeah.
I'm open for business. I'm awake. Let's get to this. Honestly, my girlfriend has a son who's 8 years old. And has endless energy.
Yeah, what is it with kids? They just run and scream now.
And I internalize it as like a shot at me. Like he's doing this to make an affront to me. It's an affront.
To make you look bad. Look at you. You who have no energy.
I mean, I used to just run. Like when you were saying things you miss about being a kid, it was playing. Just running around playing cops and robbers or something and having sweat in my ears and hearing the cicadas and just hiding, like playing hide and go seek.
Also not having aches and pains. A big one.
Yeah. Yeah. I never knew how much I would really focus in on my thoracic mobility as an adult. It's obscene.
Being really excited about birthdays. Way too many adults have birthday parties.
Yeah, it's obnoxious.
Family holidays. Again, you can still be excited about that as an adult. Mm-hmm. Getting loads of presents at Christmas. You should not expect that as an adult.
No.
No.
Definitely not.
It's the best, though, as a kid.
Again, the excitement of going to the beach. Why aren't you excited? The only reason you wouldn't be excited about going to the beach is now you have to carry everything as an adult.
Well, that's why.
You got to carry all the chairs, the umbrella, all the snacks.
Sand is in everything. Yeah. Things are draped on your shoulders.
Sleeping soundly.
Yeah, yeah. Don't have that anymore. That's gone.
What is that like? Honestly, the best sleep I've had in the last at least 5 years was when I had COVID.
The excitement of hearing the ice cream man. I mean, that's one of the most nostalgic sounds ever.
And now it's a panic because the kids have the same experience where they hear that sound, they go running to the door, they come running to me. I never have cash.
Oh, well, yeah, that is one thing for people today.
So that's changed completely because back in the day, everybody had some cash.
You go out, do you take Venmo? Can I?
They probably do. They you probably got the cash squares. School trips. Oh, I remember going to Buell Planetarium when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Spaghetti Warehouse. Went there a couple times. Yeah.
For a school? Like a class trip?
A field trip, yeah. No idea why we went to Spaghetti Warehouse. It was the city schools, Val.
Sounds
it didn't
like
really
a teacher
make a lot
wanted
of sense.
To go to
We're
Spaghetti
like,
Warehouse.
We can't take these kids anywhere else. And I'm hungry.
Being friends with everyone.
Well, I never had that. So. Never happened.
Getting clothes bought for you. Well, they have services for that now.
Yeah.
That's like people picking clothes for you.
Mm-hmm.
But just having people buy clothes
for you is
a pretty awesome experience. I mean, I had two great grandmas to do that for me. It's really fun going to Kaufman's with them.
Jumping in puddles. I will still drive right through a puddle if I see one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't jump in them, but I'll drive right through one. Water fights.
Best.
I guess you could have them with your kids. Sleepovers. I know a lot of adults who have sleepovers.
Mm-hmm.
It's
more that they get drunk and they don't want to drive
home.
Well,
you know, whatever you want to call it. Asking any questions you like to anyone you want. One of my nieces used to ask questions nonstop.
Yeah. I love that about kids. A kid asked me last night at a little birthday party I went to. He goes, why do you have a weird laugh? And I was like, why is my laugh weird? He was like, I don't know. It just sounds weird to me. Why is it so weird?
Not knowing what a hangover is. Yeah, agreed.
I feel like you kind of did, but it was just candy. It's just, oh, man, I get messed up on Reese's last night.
Yeah. So there you go. Top things adults miss the most about being a kid. Sotheby's Auction House will host From the Vault, property from the Grateful Dead and Friends, an online auction from October 7th to the 14th. Among the items up for bids from the collections of Grateful Dead Productions and the group's inner circle are Jerry Garcia's stage-used 12-string Guild Starfire guitar, estimated worth $50,000 to $70,000. 1990s era stage racks, components from their legendary Wall of Sound, and more. And the three Grateful Dead concerts are headed to the Coda Collection on Amazon Prime. Live in Foxborough 7/2/89 is streaming now, with Live in Washington D.C. 7/12/89 set to premiere September 8th. And Live at Giant Stadium, 6/17/91 on September 29th. Hot and humid, chance of a storm again today. Temperatures in the upper 80s. We're at 68 at DVE. I'm Val Porter with Bill Crawford, Sean Collier, and Joe Rokicki. Mike Pursuta coming in next with sports as we get ready for the final Steelers preseason game of the year against the Carolina Panthers tonight. We'll get the pregame underway at 3:30 here on DVE.
DVE Sports.
I'm Mike Pursuta for DVE Sports, brought to you this hour by Dormont Appliance. The Steelers conclude their preseason tonight in Carolina. Before they do, I wanted to talk about the defensive secondary, because I don't know if we've mentioned that much, Bill, the nickel cornerback situation.
Mm-mm.
And what's going on there.
What is going on there, Mike?
Well, believe it or not, there's been yet another development, actually a couple of them this week. Antoine Brooks Jr., the guy who was supposed to be the nickel. And by the way, he's still listed as the number one nickel on the depth chart for tonight's game. They print those things in advance, apparently, because he's cut. And
he's not going to be
playing nickel. Trey Norwood gets a shot at it. The seventh-round safety will get a look there tonight. Senior defensive assistant Terrell Austin spoke to the media at the outset of this week and said that Norwood had gotten his attention even before it was revealed that the safety might be tried at nickel corner against the Panthers.
I like Trey. I think Trey's shown kind of what we saw on tape. Very smart, very aware, going to be where he needs to be around the ball. So he's working in the right direction. And the kid's been out here every snap, every practice, hasn't missed a thing. So those things are trending up, and I like that moving into the season. I think he's worked his way to be up in there and be in that discussion to be the best, the next safety in the game.
Yeah. Working his way toward backup safety. Now he's got a chance to work his way toward nickel. I found that endorsement from Austin interesting. And anytime you say the guy's working hard, that means he can play better.
Yeah.
Right? I still remember the Philadelphia game, as a lot of people probably do. Norwood was in the game at safety. They threw that sideways pass, and he was the one on-block player that had to come up and make the play, and he could not make it. I think it was, 79-yard touchdown, something like that. Mm-hmm. Big play.
So he's putting the work in, but they're not the result that they're looking for.
Not yet. Not yet. But trending in that direction, as they say. Keith Butler, the defensive coordinator, is impressed by Norwood's football IQ, and Butler thinks that could lead to versatility, which the Steelers really covet.
Oh, he's a very smart, smart young man. Very smart young man. He's smart enough. He's like Cam Sutton. They're smart enough to play more than one position. So and my thing with all of them is they got to make themselves valuable. How do you make yourself valuable? You make yourself valuable by playing special teams, by playing nickel, by playing safety, by playing corner. Play a lot of different positions. If you can do that, you make yourself valuable to the team. And the more valuable you make it to the team, the best chance you got to make the team.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, here's the interesting twist, which we're not going to see tonight. Interesting potential twist. And we might not see it at all, but remember the podcast Mike Tomlin did with Peter Schrader of the NFL Network right before training camp started. And we've talked about that a couple of times since then. Tomlin said that they had been talking about versatility with Minkah Fitzpatrick in terms of depth of alignment, as Tomlin put it. Do you want Fitzpatrick playing center field all the time? Or on third down, do you want to move him around and get him up closer to the line of scrimmage or closer where you think the ball's going to be? Is Patrick best served as the fail-safe guy that keeps the offense from throwing the ball over the top of the defense? Or can he go and find the ball if they put him in different positions? Can he get even more turnovers and be even more of an impact player? They're not there yet, and they may never get there, but if Norwood, for example, can establish himself as a capable center field type safety, then maybe that gives you the option to move Fitzpatrick to a different spot. Terrell Austin talked about that a little bit this week, at least in theory as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the thing with Minkah is you could put him anywhere. He's such a smart player, and he's so versatile, and he's big, and he's fast. Like, you could put a guy like that anywhere and do a lot of things with him. We haven't explored that at this point because, again, we're still trying to work through the main part and getting our main secondary solidified. But we'll cross that bridge when he gets to it. But we do have the flexibility to do that because we do have a lot of smart guys in the back end. But right now, pardon me?
Does that intrigue you a little bit?
Oh, it always intrigues me. I like stuff. And when I say stuff, I mean stuff, like moving guys around. I love that stuff because it makes it hard for the offense. I mean, if offense comes out and knows exactly where we're going to be, they're going to have a good idea of what to run and try to put themselves in the best position. But if we make it hard for them, then that works to our advantage.
That's something that's going to, you know, play out over time, if at all. But it's interesting talk in August.
Mm-hmm.
For now, we'll see if Trey Norwood can play nickel corner tonight. We'll see if Benny Snell can show a pulse. I think that's pretty much all he's got to do to make the team. I think they like him as a potential plan B if something should happen to Najee Harris. in terms of a guy you could give the ball to 15, 20 times a game. But he hasn't played yet this preseason, and he hadn't been around long enough that he has the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he's got to get out there and show he can play.
Sure.
So that's something to keep an eye on tonight. The quarterback situation, I think we've talked about that a little bit as well. Dwayne Haskins getting the start. Is this because they just want to see him play an extended period and continue the growth that he has been showing this preseason? Or can Haskins deliver a lights-out performance and change the balance of power in terms of how the quarterbacks are stacked? Ben Roethlisberger, number one. Could Haskins steal that number two job and knock Mason Rudolph down to number three? And punt returner Matthew Sexton, I think, is one more big one away from making this team.
So if he cracks one tonight,
then I think
he's in, Ray's out?
I think.
Is it that easy for you to make that call?
Yeah, I mean, he's got two pretty good ones so far. And if you can do that in the last game, it's funny, you know, all the games, to me at least, should be weighted equally. Maybe this one a little more so because it's going to be Steelers hopefuls going against proven guys for the Panthers, the way the two coaches are going to handle it. But that last one is always the one that's the most recent to the final cut.
Right.
And I think in a lot of cases, last impressions are lasting as opposed to first impressions being lasting. You know, they're gonna get around a table in a room at some point and knock this thing down to 53 on or before August the 31st. And, hey, how can we get rid of this guy? Did you see what he did the other night? You know, I think that comes into play. So we'll see.
More reasons to watch tonight, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of a last preseason game, this is way better than the average bear. Because the Steelers had the Hall of Fame game,
yep.
So they get four games. Everybody else only gets three because they knocked the preseason schedule down by one league-wide. So Matt Rhule wants to get some of his guys out there and playing together, and there's an extra week in between the end of the preseason and the start of the regular season. So if you're not going to play your guys tonight, they're not going to play for a long time going into the opener.
Why is that? Is that because, you know, they're trying to give enough time teams like Tennessee is having a COVID outbreak that they can get it under control before the season starts?
I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's a calendar thing or a league thing. Usually it's everybody plays that last Thursday night before Labor Day, mm-hmm. and then you take the long weekend and then you hit the ground running
right
for the regular season. But they're a little bit ahead of themselves this year, so we'll see what, if any, effect that has, Val.
Thanks, Mike. Pre-game starts at 3:30 this afternoon here on DVE. Bill, what do you got coming up next?
Next, we're going to talk about Dak Prescott revealing in an episode of Hard Knocks that he's terrified of mascots.
As many people probably are. Mm-hmm. He's not alone. That's up next. It's TV Morning Show, Val Porter, Mike Pursuta, Bill Crawford, Sean Collier, Joe Rakicki, our producer, Randy out today. Dallas Cowboys, part of the Hard Knocks, or are the Hard Knocks, featured team this season. Dak Prescott revealing to the entire world
that he is terrified of mascots.
Don't come to the furry convention.
I know.
Don't come to Pittsburgh that right? weekend.
That's like his worst nightmare. That's his haunted house. He revealed it in this week's episode of Hard Knocks, and he admits that he has a legit fear of the costume creatures patrolling the sidelines. He said, quote, "You think that person in the costume, you know who he is? You don't know who the bleep he is. He's up to something."
He has a point.
And then he goes on to say, "That's why I never did anything haunted. I used to tell my mom, that's the perfect place to kill somebody. Why would I do that? I told her that. She understood, never made me go. Y'all think it's a fake chainsaw? You don't know if one of them crazy bleeps put a blade in that bleep one day."
Again, okay, so has a point.
He's sort of mixing genres here. I mean, he's kind of like jumping from mascots to haunted houses, which I don't feel like is apples to apples, right? Because haunted houses, are attracting people that love horror films and have an affinity for sinister things and are trying to scare people. That's a lot different than a guy in a big Nerf costume giving a kid a noogie, but also creepy.
He has a discomfort with performers. This is you mean people pretend they're somebody that they're not? I don't trust it.
Have you seen his offensive line lately?
I'd be more scared of that. And I obviously relate to this story, especially my mom. You know, everybody who listens to the program knows our backstory. My mom fought the pirate parrot in the early 90s, and, you know, she spoke her truth on this program with Billy Gardell years ago.
Now, that was the cracked-out thin parrot, right?
I don't think it was the guy that was the parrot. I think he lent the suit out, is what we figured out.
But it wasn't the fat
that
parrot.
Yes.
Remember the one with the real long, thin beak and the hat?
Yes.
It looked like it was a crackhead?
Yes.
Yeah.
And was maybe even selling cocaine at the time, I believe.
Shake it right out of the beak. Here you
go. I don't know the timeline of you know, which mascot this was, but it's basically 1992. And years ago when we were cleaning out my parents' house, helping them move when they moved back to Greenfield, I found in my mother's bedside drawer for her little side table a rough draft that she wrote to Rick Cerrone, who at the time was the vice president of public relations. Mm-hmm. And me and my siblings fell on the floor and laughed hysterically for like an hour. And then I kept this thing in a drawer, and I was going through some things yesterday and I stumbled upon it. So I figured with this Dak Prescott story and
very fitting.
Being, you know, terrified of mascots, I mean, we know as a family, you know, the direct implications were the result of some of that terror being legit. And I'm just going to read this. Joe, can I have some dramatic music? Perfect. Dear Mr. Cerrone, physically assaulted by the pirate parrot at the Regent Square picnic, his behavior was hostile. If he weren't in costume, I'd be suing him for assault. That doesn't even make sense. You can sue a mascot. It's a person inside there. Very overpowering moves. Hard hitting. Had me in three headlocks.
Wow.
Blew his nose on me. Put me in a headlock after I looked at him in the eye, or beak, and told him I didn't want a hug. They're pretty insistent. It was fuel to his fire. He ignored my words and came at me with vengeance. He had me in a headlock and bent my head and neck down in my lap. I broke away from him and angrily told him I did not find this to be funny. He was so klutzy that he had knocked some food off the table and caused pop cans to spill. People actually had to get up from the table to avoid being wet from the spilled pop. When I tried to get up is when he blew his nose on me and put me in a second headlock. I was furious now.
By the way, if you're at home, you can't see this. Bill's on page 4 of about 12.
He knew it, but he continued the play. He then grabbed my cigarettes and lighter and began to run away with them. I got up and ran after him. I grabbed onto his arm and I didn't let go. He told me to let go of the effing suit. I told him to drop the effing cigs. By now, we're out of the grass and onto the paved road by the park, still in everyone's view. When he wouldn't let go of the suit, when I wouldn't let go of the suit, he grabbed me in yet another headlock, and while doing so, he punched me in my mouth.
Oh, my word.
I was so shocked that I let go to grab my mouth. He then ran from me and into the ice ball concession stand, in parentheses, for about the third time. There's a lot of this story she's leaving out. And threw my cigs and lighter. I was so stunned by what had just happened that I had to sit down. Someone went me to get ice from the ice ball concession stand because my lips began to swell immediately. I was shaking. I have never been overpowered in my life. I was shaking and I was furious. People saw this and came over in disbelief. I wanted this man to know that I felt his behavior was inappropriate. Yeah, I'd say so. And definitely out of line. I waited with three other people for him until he changed his clothes. I wanted to see him face to face. I wanted him to see my face and to let him know what he had done to me. He apologized and said he was just playing. And I said, BS. My internal alarm went off. This wasn't play. And that's it. I don't know if she ever sent the letter, but just unreal.
Oh, my goodness. How did no one intervene when he smacked her in the face?
I don't know. I mean, maybe the third headlock.
Is that normal in Regent Square?
I guess. I was there, I think. I asked her, like, where was Dad? She was like, oh, he was flipping hot dogs and burgers on the grill 20 yards away. And I'm like, while you're having a Family Guy-esque fight with a chicken.
Fight. My goodness.
Unreal. I mean, if you know my mom, it makes it funnier because she'll fight you.
I'm picturing, as you're reading it, I'm picturing all this happening.
Like, less than 10 years ago, she was in anger management, like having to go and address her issues because she was getting into it with people at Subway if they wouldn't put her condiments and her toppings for her sandwich in a baggie that she brought because she didn't want to have it be all messy in the car. I mean,
where does his anger come from?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't
my
know.
Goodness. That's
but
so it, funny.
But it's there right when she wakes up. And and I don't know if she was angry before the pirate parrot because I don't remember that as a kid.
Right.
Or if it's just after.
Since then.
The pirate parrot. But
well, she can probably identify with Dak Prescott, then.
You know, mascots are terrifying,
they
guys.
They are.
Sometimes they attack.
I think the escalation there, this is for any picnic grove situation. You steal somebody's hat. Okay, we're having fun.
Right.
You pretend to steal maybe a burger, as long as you give it back. You steal the cigs.
Oh,
we've got a problem.
That's That's the red line.
A line has, from what I can tell, anything at a picnic grove, you're going through 12 to 15 packs of Marlboros.
Oh, my God. At those picnics, it was just cigarettes and lighters on the whole table.
Mm-hmm.
Just lining, end to end.
Oh, my. Well, thanks, Bill. When we come back, we'll talk about, since kids are back at school, we'll talk about the stuff that you don't even need to bother putting in their school lunch because they won't eat it. We'll talk about that coming up. It's a deep... So, a new poll asked 2,000 adults what they miss most about being a kid. 50 things. I'm not going to do all 50, but I'm going to do most of them. School trips. Oh, I remember going to Buell Planetarium when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Spaghetti Warehouse. Went there a couple times. Yeah.
A school? Like a class trip?
A field trip, yeah. No idea why we went to Spaghetti Warehouse. It was the city schools, Val.
Sounds
it didn't
like
really
the teacher
make a lot
wanted
of sense.
To go to
We're
Spaghetti
like,
Warehouse.
We can't take these kids anywhere else. And I'm hungry.
Being friends with everyone.
Well, I never had that. Never happened.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
It's 9:05 at DVE. Here's the Channel 11 Severe Weather Center.
Severe Weather Center 11.
73 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Window Nation. I'm Val Porter. The U.S. and its allies are warning that more terrorist attacks in Kabul are likely as the deadline for withdrawing all troops from Afghanistan grows closer. That sobering assessment comes a day after two suicide bombers killed dozens of people near the airport in Kabul. 13 U.S. service members lost their lives and 18 were wounded in attacks at the place where thousands of people are hoping to be evacuated now that the Taliban rules the country. There are reports that 90 or more Afghans were killed in yesterday's attack. The police officer who killed a woman during January's Capitol attack says pulling the trigger was a last resort. Lieutenant Michael Byrd spoke out last night for the first time since the shooting. He told NBC News he prayed no one would get through the doors, yelling at the rioters to stop. He fired when Ashley Babbitt climbed through a window, saying he saved countless lives that day. He was cleared in his use of force last week. More wildfire evacuations are happening in Northern California. Flames are inching closer to South Lake Tahoe just days after jumping a highway. That has the city preparing for an emergency and telling visitors to be sure to register for any alerts. No one's been ordered to leave there yet, but others in El Dorado County were told to pack up. Parents in Cannon McMillan School District in Washington County are taking legal action to make the district change its optional mask policy. The district's health and safety plan does not require vaccinated students to wear masks, and masks are optional for all other students and staff. An attorney for the parents says the policy creates a health risk for other students. According to the CDC, Washington County, along with most other counties in Pennsylvania, are at a high risk of infection from COVID-19. Battles over masks in school going on all over the country, and one Texas dad made quite a scene while trying to make his point to show his support for COVID-19 mask mandates during the Dripping Springs Independent School District board meeting on Monday. The dad talked about the importance of masks in a speech that he started fully clothed. He pointed to the clothing that he was wearing, told the group he resented the workplace fashion. He then took off his jacket, took off his tie, took off his shirt, took off his pants.
Wow. That's a lot.
Fortunately, he had a bathing suit on underneath.
Oh, I was going to say, if he had a mask on down there, that would have just been high satire.
He stripped before telling the board members his actual point that rules exist for a reason.
You got to be sure you follow the rules in Dripping Springs. You're going to get a little bit soggy there no matter what.
Well, these days, every new TV that Samsung produces has remote blocking technology. That means Samsung can disable all TV functions with just the push of a button. This TV block technology was developed so stolen TVs could be shut down and disabled. So,
oh, like a phone.
Yeah, so score one for the good guys. But on the other hand, it could be very scary because that's a lot of power for the company to have. And what if somebody hacks the system?
Right.
Then everybody's TV gets shut down during a big event.
Now I can't watch a Steeler game.
Not life-threatening, but...
No, but some jag shuts the game off on Sunday. I'm going to be pretty PO'd about it.
Right, especially if it's a big one. So I like to give you guys life hacks, things to help you out you might not be aware of.
Yes.
Do you buy eggs?
I do. And very often, I keep them for a long, long time.
Well, then the story's just for you, Bill.
Oh, good.
Do you want to know if those eggs in your fridge are still safe to eat? You do the float test.
Okay.
If an egg floats to the top in a bowl of water, no longer good.
No longer good.
Don't. Floaters are bad.
Okay. In all scenarios, I think.
Another way to know if it's bad? If it smells like sulfur when you crack it open.
Well, yeah, I can't smell that.
Oh, that's right. You're in trouble. So you got to do
the floating hack. Yeah.
Well, there you go, Bill. That was just for you.
It's going to be weird when I say, hey, I'll be right back, guys. I got to go in the kitchen and do the floater test.
Gonna go look for floaters.
Why does it smell like eggs? Oh, my God. What are you doing in there?
Well, if you haven't seen the Milk Crate Challenge yet, you will have one less place to see it. TikTok has now banned it. They are scrubbing all those videos from their platform. The statement they release says they prohibit content that promotes or glorifies dangerous acts, and they encourage people to, quote, exercise caution in their behavior, whether online or off. Of course, trends like this really helped TikTok get very popular to begin with.
Right.
So some people still don't think they're doing enough to squash them. This is the same platform that brought us the Tide Pod Challenge and the Coronavirus Challenge, where people walked around licking stuff. Remember that one when that was a thing at the beginning of the pandemic?
Yeah, I do.
What happens in the Milk Crate
Challenge? Oh, you haven't seen it?
They stack milk crates up like a pyramid.
Yeah.
And
like stair steps,
and you have to walk up them all the way to the top. And at the top, it's like
I think they said 10, it's like, yeah, 7 to 10 crates high.
7 to 10 crates up high, and they are incredibly shaky. And what happens is nobody has good balance, and so they lose their balance and crash down and only seem to be falling on their face.
Yeah, or their back, right on a crate.
Are we not providing children with enough to do? Is there an entertainment? Because it seems to me that there are many options to amuse yourself in the internet age.
And the problem with TikTok is that all these kids, the way that the app is set up is like if somebody comes up with a viral dance, every single person on the app tries to recreate that same dance with that same sound. So in a lot of ways, all of these kids are like Ron Burgundy. They will say what's on the prompter. And so if you put up a milk crate challenge or a Tide Pod challenge, everybody does it.
I'm sure there are videos on YouTube, Sean, if you want to see it. It's it's one of those videos you watch and you're like, oh my God.
I do love people falling down. Somebody from Arcade asked me once, what's the one thing that makes you laugh no matter what? And I wanted to have some, you know, thoughtful, clever answer, you know, some, you know, that reflects that I appreciate comedy. And it's like, people falling down real fast. That'll do it every time.
You find a good ice spot, you just post up.
Yeah. People stubbing their toes.
Like Wipeout, you know, Wipeout, just seeing a person, you know, bounce off a giant ball and flail into the water. Hilarious.
They really fly.
Yeah. Do you guys watch that show, Holy Moly? I think it's like the putt-putt show.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Riggle is one of the announcers and hosts. It's funny. It's a good show for kids. My kids are obsessed with it. And in one of the things, they have to run down this really narrow path of all of these porta-johns. And one of the doors is going to open, but you don't know when it's going to happen or if they're going to make it to the end. And then the other side is a huge cliff into water. And people get pummeled into the water. Just crushed and thrown into the water, and it's like funny every time. You know it's coming. You know they're not going to make it. They're just running towards, you know, the goal line and just get blown up.
Sean, I want you to watch one of those videos just because I want to hear and see your reaction.
Yeah, we need your reaction.
So
I'm going to put it on mute.
Yes, you'll definitely know when I've seen it. With school starting back up, 3 out of 5 parents say they are stressed about having to pack the kids' lunch again. Bill, do you pack lunches or do they eat at school?
I do. I'm trying to just really be a chaperone now.
So they pack their own lunch?
I'm in the background, yeah. The girls are packing their own lunch now.
Well, the poll looked at some of the most common things kids have leave uneaten in their lunches. No surprise, vegetables number one.
Vegetables. The carrots.
83% of parents make sure they put veggies in there, but it's almost always the thing kids don't eat.
Yeah.
Fruits number two. The entree, the main part of the meal, is number three. So, like, the sandwich, I don't know, what else do you put in a kid's lunch?
I mean, there's not much. Okay, he's seen it.
Why would you set them up on concrete? Find a lawn. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I mean, the falls are really, really bad.
They're spectacular.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, other than a sandwich, Val, it's, I mean, I'm throwing, like, nuts in there, like trail mix.
Grapes.
I'm throwing yogurts in there.
Yeah. Do they have refrigerators for their lunches?
Well, they have their lunch bags come with like one of those ice packs.
Oh, okay. Wow, way advanced now.
Yeah, I know.
Not the metal.
Yeah.
With the one latch.
Yeah.
What was your, mine was a peanuts lunchbox.
I think I had a G.I. Joe one. I believe I had a Masters of the Universe one.
He-Man and Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
Salty snacks ranks fourth of things kids don't eat, and sweet snacks comes in last.
Yeah.
The poll also found parents spend an average of $390 extra on groceries per kid during the school year.
So I read up on this, and it was when my generation was going through middle school and high school where big corporations started to get inside the schools.
Companies
like Doritos and they would have in the lunchroom all of these options of, you know, one of those ice cream drawers where you could have like a Nutty Buddy and a Scooter Crunch and all these different.
As soon as that
came in, it was lights out for anything healthy.
Yeah, that was the only like non-traditional cafeteria stuff we had was the ice cream.
Yes.
Otherwise, it was the Jell-O in the little bowl and, you know, a la carte line was, you know. Hot roast beef sandwich or gravy train.
Oh,
gravy train was a scoop of mashed potatoes with ground beef in gravy poured over top of it.
Yuck.
That was gravy train.
Oh, And you loved it?
No.
Oh,
it was
God.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, the meat sauce was good. The potatoes were awful.
Some of the gravy for the mashed potatoes in my high school was
shiny.
Green.
Yeah.
It was
and shiny.
I was like, is this supposed to glow in the dark? This doesn't feel healthy.
I had a contest with one of my friends. There were like five or six of us girls that were a group and hung out together. I had a contest to see with another girl who could eat the most Scooter Crunch bars at lunch.
Who won?
I think I ate seven.
Oh, my God. That was my favorite. Scooter Crunch.
I still love those.
Good.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the Scooter Crunch and the chocolate eclair? It's the same thing, but is it just
different company? I think it's a different,
Okay.
Basically the same. And chocolate, and the strawberry ones are no good. They're okay in a pinch.
My kids are obsessed with the strawberry ones.
Yeah.
And it's safe for me because I don't care for them.
Yeah, perfect. Hollywood director making changes to his 9/11 documentary. Spike Lee has been facing backlash for pushing conspiracy theories about the terrorist attack. So now he's re-editing the final episode of the 8-hour HBO series. It questions how the World Trade Center towers collapsed, suggesting it could have been a controlled demolition. Lee asked the media to hold judgment until the final cut airs September 11th. And finally, Grammy-winning pop group or pop rock group, the Blues Traveler, not the Blues Traveler, just Blues Traveler, scheduled to perform this weekend at Katanning Riverfront Park. The show marks the end of the season for the Arts on the Allegheny series. Saturday night show is free. You can get details at artsontheallegheny.org. Hot and humid. Chance of thunderstorms today. Upper 80s for the high. It's 70 now at DVE. I'm Val Porter. Steelers taking on the Carolina Panthers in the final preseason game of the year. 3:30 is when we'll get the DVE pregame underway. Mike Pursuta takes over at 5:30. He's going to take over with sports coming up. It's a DVE.
At Lowe's.
DVE Sports.
I'm Mike Pursuta for DVE Sports, brought to you this hour by your neighborhood Ford store. Steelers at the Carolina Panthers tonight, the preseason finale. It is a huge night for those on the roster bubble, and we've talked a lot about those guys today. One guy who I think can't lose is Dwayne Haskins, who's going to get the start at quarterback. Even if he stinks for whatever reason, I think he's going to be here at least as the number three.
Yeah.
If he goes out there and lights it up in the first half against a Carolina team that is supposed to be playing its regular guys, the majority of them, for a significant period. That might give Haskins an opportunity to steal that backup quarterback position away from Mason Rudolph. Haskins is going to be playing with some but not all of the regulars for the Steelers, so he's going to have a high degree of difficulty tonight. But what he's done to this point cannot be ignored. He's a guy who flamed out miserably in Washington as a former 15th overall selection in just 2 years. He looked bad when he first got here in the spring, but ever since training camp and the wearing of shoulder pads and the actual playing of football, progress. It's been really fun to watch and listen to.
And listen.
He's done a couple of sessions with the media, and he's represented himself well. One of the things that Haskins talked about in his latest session a couple of days ago was how he's been watching and trying to learn from Ben Roethlisberger for a long time now, but the difference this summer is he actually got an opportunity to do those things as Roethlisberger's teammate.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched Ben since I was about this tall. So for me, it was kind of surreal just watching him come out there and watching him play and see how the fans were so excited to see him there and how he performed, and it kind of motivated me really to see how he got all the praise and love he did when he was out there, and then watch how he played. I like try to emulate him a little bit as far as how he extends plays and how strong he is in the pocket, how all the routes are live no matter what happens in the play. So it was fun just to see it actually happen in the game, because in practice it's hard because no one really can touch him or tackle him and stuff like that. So for me to see it live, it was pretty cool.
It is so strange, I guess, is the only word I can come up with, to think of the age gap between Ben and those guys. I mean, those guys were kids when they were watching him.
It's remarkable. I mean, Ben's been doing this a long, long time.
Well, it's like when Randy was asking Pat Freiermuth, when you were growing up, which wasn't too long ago, were you a Gronk guy? And, I mean, Gronk's still in the league.
Yeah. It, in most instances, it's a young man's game, but there are exceptions. Haskins mentioned how different he's looked since training camp started. He's looked different enough that if he was doubting himself after the way things worked out in Washington, he's not lacking confidence any longer.
I feel like being here has been a great opportunity for me to just be myself and just for me to be able to go out there and have fun. And I feel like when I do those things, it just, you know, you see it in my play, you see it in how I operate and out of the huddle, how I talk to my teammates, and I feel like it's contagious in a way where I have a lot of energy. So I feel like that's probably the biggest thing that I've grown in this area since being here, is that I feel like, you know, I'm a part of something here.
Yeah, it seems to be a fit. We'll learn the exact particulars of how Dwayne Haskins fits sooner rather than later.
I have a question.
Sure.
Deadline for cuts is Tuesday, right?
31st, yeah.
So will they make cuts immediately after tonight, like tomorrow, or will they wait and do them all Monday?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
I just historically, yeah. How does that happen?
Depends on how bad they are.
Yeah, I mean,
cut them out of spite.
Might make some, and then, you know, finish it off by 4. Usually, it's not resolved well in advance of 4 o'clock. Okay. Not entirely resolved.
Gotcha.
And they'll also be checking. I'm pretty sure everybody else's cuts, because there might be some.
Or they could pick somebody up.
There might be some adjusting after. There might be a guy or more who thinks he made the team when the Steelers 53 is announced, and then a day later he didn't make the team because there was something better out there,
right,
on the scrap heap. But Steelers and Panthers tonight, as we've mentioned a few times, the DVE pregame show starts at 3:30. Then we take over the Steelers Radio Network pregame show at 5:30, and then the game broadcast at 7:30.
There is something fun about an afternoon game on a weekday. I mean, I know it's only preseason, but it's like, oh, this is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all afternoon football.
I like it.
We'll be longing for this when they play their night games in the regular season.
Right, yeah.
Mike, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate about these guys and the process, these young kids who are, you know, most of them phenoms from their town who went on to play college ball and now are getting a shot in the pros, and even though they're better than everybody they grew up around at playing sports, still might not make it. I mean, that is, I'm fascinated by it. It's a heartbreaking process for a lot of these kids to think, I don't know if I'm going to get a round trip ticket here. I don't know if I'm coming back to Pittsburgh.
You know, I think the thing that probably way more people than not often forget is how hard it is to play pro sports.
Oh, well.
And you look at a guy like Gregory Polanco, sucks, right? He's terrible.
Right.
He's a really good baseball player. He's not a good major leaguer, but I mean, there are very few of those.
Yes.
It's hard to get there. It's really hard to get there. It's hard to stay there.
It's like the D-bag challenge that I had at the open mic I used to host at Petey's Pub in Squirrel Hill. I said, you guys have no idea, the audience I'm talking to, have no idea how hard it is to come up here and suck. You couldn't even suck for 10 minutes. Yeah. You have no idea the work that these guys put in, yeah, night after night to get up here and stink.
Yeah. It just, you know, it kind of looks easy from afar, but it ain't. And we'll see what happens. One more thing about Haskins. Let's say that he doesn't get the number 2 job and he ends up being number 3. He said he's okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing I learned while my time in the previous regime was, you know, stuff happened and I was a 3rd-string guy, and then I had to be able to come in and play. So I think coming into this year, whether I have to, you know, suit up every game or whether I have to, you know, be the clipboard guy or come in and maybe I can start a game, is to be prepared as if I am playing. So that's what I want to do, is prepare and get ready as if I'm out there going. And then even if I get scout team reps, show team reps, you know, reps with the offense, and be able to maximize those reps so that I'm able to go in game-like situations.
I mean, what areas do you feel maybe you're strong?
You know, Mike Tomlin has said that the quarterback depth chart is going to be formulated based on this year. They're not thinking down the road. But the number 2 guy gets a lot more practice than the number 3 guy. Mm-hmm. So if you want to fast forward and assume this is Ben Roethlisberger's last year, and where will they be at the end of the season, the number 2 guy will have a leg up on being the potential successor, you know, from the group here.
Right.
If the successor is from here, which is, you know, it's a total wild card at this point.
If Haskins makes it as number three or even number two, is Josh Dobbs out or does he go to the practice squad?
I think he'll go to the practice squad. They're doing a bigger practice squad again this year because of COVID, and I think they'll keep him around. And I also think when he gets cut, he's not going to get picked up by anybody else.
He's going to go be a rocket scientist.
I know. I would have already done that. What do you think the division of labor will be tonight, Mike? How much of Haskins will we see and how much Dobbs?
Depends on what they want to see out of Haskins. I mean, if he comes out, if the point of it is to get him a lot of work in a game, then he'll play a lot. If they want to see how he does, as you know, he has to show them something, maybe to be number two. If he shows them that in a quarter and a half, that might be it. As Mike Tomlin often says, they always have a plan, and the plan is always subject to change.
Light on our feet.
Based on how the game plays out. So we'll see. Should be a fun first half, if nothing else, tonight. Interesting first half.
And, I'll be watching.
For what it's worth, it's been a much more interesting preseason than it usually is, and got to thank the Steelers for having so much uncertainty to make it interesting.
Well, there's that.
It's no fun when they got everything figured out, and you're right. Just sitting there saying, can we just fast forward to the AFC Championship game? Like we used to do sometimes around here. No fear of that this season.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Pregame 3:30 this afternoon here on DVE, and you're going to take over the pregame, network pregame at 5:30, and then kickoff 7:30, Steelers and Panthers here. That's love-making music.
Oh, yeah.
It's a DVE.
It's good.
DVE Morning Show. You think celebrities just go around having sex all the time? They do.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, since we're in the dog days of summer, blogs are putting out lists and they're compiling different things. And I found this on a blog site called Just Jared. They compiled a list every time a star has given out their number, their magic number. They put this list out. So I'm gonna say who the star is, and then you guys are gonna guess what you think their magic number is.
Okay.
Okay, Lamar Odom is number one.
I've heard him talk about this before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Almost,
I won't answer.
Khloe Kardashian, the biggest Kardashian.
And he almost died at
the bunny ranch.
The bunny ranch.
I think, yeah.
Yes.
So clearly is fond of
it's up there.
150?
Over 2,000. He wrote in his memoir, Darkness to Light, I'm a sex addict. Mm. There were too many strippers to count. And yet, he did crunch the numbers. Over 2,000. All right, how about Vinny from the Jersey Shore? Gym tan intercourse. How many partners?
I don't know. 300.
More than he can count.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So like 12.
12. All right.
500.
All right. His number that he gave, they're all giving these numbers, right? 500 to 1,000. That's a pretty wide berth. No pun intended. Like, it can't be a number or double that number. I know all these guys are bad at math, but you can't say, what's 2 plus 2? 4 or 4,000? Well, which is it?
Admittedly, that's what I answered when someone said, how much did you lose in Vegas last week? That was the exact range I
500
gave.
To 1,000?
Yeah.
All right, how about Mariah Carey? What's your guys' guess?
I mean, I feel like she's more choosy than Lamar Odom.
Yeah. I'm going to say 25.
Okay.
I'll still go to 40. Maybe 40.
51.
5.
Get the hell out of here.
I think that seems impossible.
Well, she was
because
married twice.
I know 4 of them. Like, I shouldn't know all. I don't know her. I shouldn't
personally
know most of them. She was married to Tommy Mottola twice.
Oh, twice. Okay.
She had a relationship with a Mexican singer, Miguel Luis or something like that.
Don't know.
Nick Cannon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Eminem.
Oh.
That's one,
I didn't
four
know that she was involved with him.
She tried to deny it, but I mean, we all know what
he
happened.
He did not try
right
to deny.
He tells the truth a lot in his songs.
Yeah.
All right. Charlie Sheen. This one.
I don't even.
This one's.
Wouldn't even venture, I guess.
It's a decent number.
5K.
Okay.
8K.
I'm not even going to guess. I just. It's,
Mike hit the nail on the head. 5,000. That's a lot of tiger blood flow.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, he's admitted that he was a sex addict. I think he was on Dr. Oz years ago talking about it and just being holed up in...
also a drug addict.
In hotel rooms, smoking crack and hanging out with, what did he call them at the time? His goddesses, his angels?
Yeah, I think his goddesses.
Something like that?
Does drug use affect your performance?
Apparently not.
One way or another.
I would have thought it did, but...
Man. I guess it depends what drug.
I'm sure he's mixing in Viagra with whatever else he's doing, you know?
He's one of those people who are like, he's alive, and that's confusing to me.
All right, Gene Simmons, because this one's a little easier because he's talked about this a lot.
Thousands, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, say 4,000.
4,800. Mm. 4,800. And he said... You know, but I'm settling down and I'm being faithful now to Shannon Tweed.
How come it's always a round number when it's that high?
I don't know.
They never say 2,812.
So yeah, there's some calculus there. You're saying, okay, I'm how old? It's been like this for X number of years. You know, take off a few for holidays.
I'm OCD about round numbers.
Right.
But that's it. Not germs. Not germs, of course.
Man, I was really exhausted at 4761, but then I thought, I got to find another 39 just to get it up to.
All right, Dennis Rodman. How many people?
Dennis Rodman. Again, in the thousands, probably.
Yeah. 2,000. Mm-hmm. And Rodman has spoke openly about sex and the amount of sex that he's had in the past, and even spoken about physically breaking his genitals on several occasions.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, talk about playing hurt. Yeah, I mean, if you're putting those kind of numbers up, you've got injuries.
You know, this is what happens when you miss practice. You're more prone to injury.
Yes.
Questionable, doubtful, IR.
And finally, Hugh Hefner. What do you think the number is?
Oh, my God. And he lived forever, too.
Yeah.
So it has to pass into the five figures.
Okay, so.
Five figures, wow.
He said over 1,000.
Well, yeah.
And then he said, and this is, I think, the most accurate answer. How could I possibly know? Over 1,000 for sure. Over 1,000 could be 10,000.
Yeah.
Because he had a whole organization set up around it.
There's actually a documentary I just saw the trailer for coming out next year about the dark side of Playboy and how it wasn't all, you know, fun and games and...
The dark side. Where was the light side?
Yeah, well.
Naked women playing volleyball, I guess, was the light side.
But he used to have cartoons.
Yeah, sure.
Apparently, Hugh was not just a fun-loving playboy.
Oh, no.
So.
And I mean, he had a long career. He had a Brady-like career.
Yeah.
Well, so there you go. Take that into the weekend with you. It's a DVE morning show. We have the Steelers and Carolina Panthers. 3:30 this afternoon, Mike Prisuta takes over the network pregame at 5:30. But here he is now to give you a little preview of that.
For the preseason finale, the Steelers have gone to Carolina, the land of ACC basketball, Big Tobacco, and NASCAR. Had Clint Eastwood made one of those adorable, any which way you can act with an ape movies in these friendly confines, the tagline would have been, left turn, Clyde. The Steelers would prefer to go forward, to Buffalo and beyond. But while what's left in the preseason hourglass may indeed be dwindling, Mike Tomlin still has 60 minutes of sand at his disposal. And he admittedly still has nuts to squirrel. The nickel corner has yet to be identified, and there are still roster spots up for grabs, or so it seems, on the offensive and defensive lines, at wide receiver, and in the defensive backfield. There's also the punter-slash-holder and long-snapper competitions to complete, two-man battles that have been about as exciting to behold as watching Dean Smith's Tar Heels run the four corners. Those are boring, but necessary I's to dot and T's to cross. And then there's quarterback. Can Dwayne Haskins really close like Richard Petty and take the backup checkered flag at the end of the last lap? Appalachian State once pulled a mighty upset. Why can't Haskins? He gets a start tonight that's either significant or superfluous. Only Tomlin knows for certain. It won't matter which if Haskins shoots himself in the foot like Barney Fife. Are you ready for some football?
That was a clap line.
Like a phone call from my baby, last preseason games drive me crazy. Still, there's enough meat left on this barbecued rib bone to make going to Carolina seem like a worthwhile endeavor to more than just James Taylor. Benny Snell and Matthew Sexton better run like moonshiners. The challenge for those two, among others, is not to be first in flight or first in freedom, but one of the last men standing with the Steelers.
Nice
job.
That was a double clapter.
Yeah. I'm particularly proud of myself because all the references were from the 70s. Like Clint Eastwood and Richard Petty. And sure. Yeah, nothing current here.
I'm only sorry that Randy wasn't here to hear it.
So that's it. He can hear it on the podcast, which anybody else can as well. If you miss anything from the morning show, you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts or on DVE.com, especially the iHeartRadio app. And Steelers, Carolina Panthers, pregame 3:30 with Tim Bensdale, Lolly and Rob King, Mike Brasuda and Jerry Dulac, and Bob Labriola at 5:30. Kickoff 7:30 with Bill Hillgrove, Craig Wolfley, Max Starks, Missy Matthews.
Missy.
Have a great weekend. Michelle Michaels up next. Go Steelers. She has the electrical lunch at noon here on DVE.